The message today is when death comes for you. Now, that doesn't seem like a happy topic, does it? I mean, take it as an image for what threatens us, what we're afraid of, what tears us down rather than builds us up. And death being sort of the final tearing down, you know, when we're undone completely. Well, I want to situate that in the context of our general series of Walking with God. And I really like this image. I'm sure, because it's the general one we've had for this series, but I think for the particular verse that I'll be looking at in the psalm, it's black and white, it's kind of gloomy, you don't see like grass in front of the sheep. It's a part of the journey that's feeling eerie, you know, when you look at it. And it kind of fits with the verse that I'm focusing on, which is from Psalm 23:4, and it's, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, that's a middle point in the psalm, and it involves a shift. And, you know, as part of the preparation for the series, we've been looking at insights of a shepherd who talks about his experience with sheep and what it's like to be a shepherd, and conveys these, you know, helpful background, since today not too many of us, you know, are shepherds and know what it's like regularly to bring sheep around, unlike, you know, many people at the time that say the psalm was written. And of course David was a shepherd and knew this intimately. But I want to just go from the opening of the section that I'm looking at. And the author says, from a shepherd's point of view, this statement, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this statement marks the halfway stage in the psalm. It is as though up to this point, the sheep has been boasting to its unfortunate neighbor across the fence about the excellent care it received from its owner on the home ranch through the winter and spring. Now, it turns to address the shepherd directly. The personal pronouns, I and you, enter the conversation. It becomes a most intimate discourse of deep affection. He says, "This is natural and normal. The long treks into the high country with their summer range begin here. Left behind are the neglected sheep on the other side of the fence. Their owner knows nothing of the hill country, the mountain meadows to which these sheep will be led. Their summer will be spent in the close companionship and solitary care of the Good Shepherd. Both in Palestine and our western sheep ranches," where the author was a shepherd, "this division of the year is common practice. Most of the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks onto the distant ranges during the summer. This often entails long drives. The sheep move along slowly, feeding as they go, gradually working their way up to the top of the mountain." And when he speaks of this high country, the mountains, he calls it, and I like this phrase, sort of a wild but wonderful country. Now, what I want to focus on in this verse is that path from the place where God initially brought us and sort of fed us and restored us and made us able to walk with him to the more challenging places. And now this transition, where for those who have been brought to an intimate walk with him, you're going to be going to the mountaintops. But to get there, you're going to have to travel through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, what I want to focus on here, in this, even though I walk. Now, how are we going to interpret this even though? Is it like, if it happens that I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, then, but I'm not really expecting this to happen, right? Is that the even though? Is it like, there might be a rough time coming? I don't think it will, but even if it does, I'm not going to fear. Or is this the words of someone who knows he's going to have to travel through that valley? And he doesn't want to. But he knows from the shepherd he's going to have to. And he's saying, even though walking with you means I got to do this, I will fear no evil. Now, I want to suggest and show you with other verses, it's that second sense of even though. We're going to have to travel through that valley of the shadow of death. We're going to have to look to him in that intimate, personal way. And when we do, we'll be able to fear no evil. And what that's going to mean is, instead of like that first slide, where when we think of death and how it encroaches on us, we're not going to be looking at that wolf or looking at the enemy. We're going to instead be looking at the shepherd, and then we're not going to fear. So, in the next three slides, I'm going to now talk about, in some ways, kind of a summary of the message that we'll be looking at. So, first, our confidence in the shepherd. And kind of what I want to look at is, how can we fear no evil? Why do we fear no evil when death comes for us? When we walk through the valley? And there's only one way. This, trust in the Good Shepherd. That's how we fear no evil. And I want to also talk about the nature of this trust. So, this trust, this confidence we have in the shepherd, it doesn't mean I trust he's going to, in the end, do what I want. That's not our trust. That's not what we're trusting him for. It means wherever he leads me, I'm going to trust that he sees what I don't and he knows what I don't. And he's going to bring me to a place that I can't even imagine. Because right now, I'm not the kind of sheep that can even glimpse and understand where he wants to take me. And it's not until he brings me there that I'm going to be able to understand it. And that's why I have to trust in him. He sees what I don't. He knows where I am in a way I don't. And he knows that to get to the mountaintop where I have that intimacy with him, he's going to have to bring me through this valley of the shadow of death. Now, in another verse, kind of in relation to these mountaintops, there's a kind of different image. And I want to turn to Habakkuk now, 3:19. And in this scripture, we read, "The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." Now, this is kind of mixing metaphors, right? Right in this, in the psalm, we're sheep, right? He's the shepherd. Hinds' feet, this is like a mountain deer. And the image is of this light, graceful animal that can bound up along the mountain cliffs. But note, it doesn't say he's going to make me a hind. He's going to make me a deer. He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet, just like he's not going to make me a sheep, right? This is in the context of shepherd caring for the sheep. But think about what it's like when we bring these two images together. What the scripture says, and then look underneath and look at the sheep. And we're the sheep now. How are we going to think about what he, with this word, is telling us he's going to bring us to and how he's going to make us? Like, are we going to think about this with a sheep mindset? So he's going to make me my feet like hinds' feet and on the high places. Do we think of it like, you know, say you've got this level plain that the sheep are walking through and it'll be like slightly, you know, tilted? And, you know, from a sheep mindset, that's still pretty aggressive, right? You know, we're used to being sheep. Now, what I want to suggest is, at first, you know, say if we just look at these sheep on this plane, there seems to be a kind of disconnect between the, what the image is showing us, right, and what the scripture is telling us about ourselves. And further, note that in these slides, and all the slides on the scripture are going to be like this, there's some things assumed. But I want to just ask it in the form of a question. Is the shepherd over here, or is the shepherd over there? See what I'm saying? Now, if the shepherd's over there, and we're imagining, you know, this word came to the sheep, and wait, you look the other direction and then you imagine what this scripture means, you might think, it'll be a little upward, but I'm going to stay in this comfortable place where I'm grazing and, you know, it's going to be good. Or if the shepherd's here, are we going to really see ourselves in a different way? Right? Now, to hear this word rightly, it's not just of ourselves. It's, are we going to let that word be quickened to us? Are we going to have an imagination and ability to see past what we're going to be able to see on our own if, say, the shepherd's there and we're facing this way? Now, if the shepherd's there, then look at how we're going to imagine this. We're going to be sheep doing stuff that sheep don't do, right? so not this, but look at the other one. Is that how you normally think of sheep? Right? This is, you know, one of these sheep that's taken seriously, that scripture. Right? And that's, you know, sheep that has been able to take hold of a possibility, right? That sheep, if they're facing away from the shepherd, just aren't going to glimpse, even when they're given that word. And what I want to suggest is that to become that kind of a sheep, when, if we go backward again, we start out as these kind of sheep on the plain, there's something that is going to happen to us to make us new. Now, what I don't want to suggest is these sheep are not yet new. Right? So, when you think about the psalm, Psalm 23, you might think it captures like a window from the beginning of the psalm to the end. And just before that psalm is the place where we weren't the sheep of this shepherd that's now our shepherd. Right? We were the sheep on, as in the what I read at the beginning, we were the sheep on the other side of the fence, right? Not taken care of. Just looked at in terms of how we could be fattened and brought to the slaughter. And then the good shepherd took hold of us, and there had to be a transition to make it to the other side of that fence, or for his image, the door, and us going through. But when we came into his fold, we're all wounded and messed up and hurting. And what he does is then brings us to a land where we see his goodness and where he builds us up and he feeds us and he heals us and he prepares us. But he prepares us with another journey still coming, a deepening of our walk with him. Now, in a way, it's a death and rebirth that brought us across that fence. Not just in a way, right? That's how Paul speaks of the gospel. That's how Scripture speaks of the gospel. But he also says that as we began, so we mature. So it's not just you died once back there when you repented and turned your life over to him. It's you're going to be renewed and built up, and he's going to bring you through these places where you learn because you have to. You're going to learn to look to him and get all your strength from him and be empowered by him, because it's a journey you're not going to be able to make on your own. So, again, forward, hind's feet. In fact, if you look at it, doesn't it look kind of like deer feet there? Think, how am I going to be a sheep of a very different kind as a result of my journey through this valley? So now to the next slide. I want to again remind you of the context where we've come so far. That up to Psalm 23:4, we've been brought to a comfortable place where he feeds us, he heals us, he builds us up, he's cared for us. We can know he's cared for us. Right? He's watched over us. So that's our starting place. Now, he's going to bring us to another place, a mountain place, of a beauty of another kind. And he's gonna personally bring us to this other place. But to get there, we're gonna have to go through this dark place where we don't see the grass, and which seems harsh. And I wanna talk now about some lessons that we bring from thinking about this journey through the valley of the shadow of death. And in doing this, I'm gonna speak about valley and death, and what might we think of a shadow of death, right? Kind of how death bears in on us, seems to threaten us, evoke our fear, and then how we trust in the midst of it. So to the first lesson, I want to look at the relation between death, the valley, and life with him on the mountain. So the shepherd will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death if you are his disciple. So what I want to argue now is, if you're his, as I suggested at the beginning, it's not going to be, even though in a sense of might but probably not, it's going to be, you're going to be brought through it. So death is going to bear in on you, and death's shadow is going to take a hold of you, and that's going to be a trial, and you're going to be tempted to fear, and you're going to be tempted to focus on the wolf rather than on the shepherd. So let's look at Matthew 10:38. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, what does he mean by that? Does that mean he's thinking of us in terms of worth when he's deciding whether we're his? That would have, for me, meant I could never come to him, because I had no worth. But what I want to suggest is, when Jesus speaks of worthy of him, it's not tallying our good beforehand and then deciding whether we're his, but rather through that cross that we take up following him, he brings to us our worth. And the way he does it is by trusting in him, he transforms us and makes us one who has a worth we didn't have when we set out on that journey. And that's what Jesus is meaning. But notice this role of the cross. It's not some disciples are going to have to take up their cross or go through this valley. This is going to be a way that he transforms us, that he brings to us our worth. And it's central to what it means to be his disciple. In Luke 14:27, we have another version of this, which makes that clearer. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's because the disciple is the one who follows him. And following him means when he takes us through that valley, we're going to fix our eyes on him and go where he directs us. Second lesson, on death. Why do we fear it? The answer is going to be tied to It's a curse that came to us when we sinned in the fall. Kind of the whole threat was sort of turn against me, go your own way, eat of this fruit, and you'll die. And that death is our separation from Him. It means that personal relationship with the Creator that you were made for, you're going to be severed from. And what this journey that the shepherd is telling us about is about is that to come back into that intimacy with Him that we were created for and lost, and that losing was our death. That's going to be the journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Here, if you look at the way he's using cross, or the way Scripture speaks of the curse and death, there's a shadowy double aspect to death. Death is, on one hand, our undoing. Death is, on another hand, the pathway to our renewal. And there's a kind of fork in the road for the sheep that follow the shepherd, and the sheep that want to kind of turn around and walk the other way. The sheep who follow the shepherd are going to find their life, that life they lost when death came to us as the curse. We see this in Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Note there's two kinds of life here. There's that life we have apart from him, when we're not walking with the shepherd on the journey with him and with our intimacy with him. And there's that life we have that is when we're going the other way. And think here again, you know, shepherd here, that's the life we find. Shepherd there, going the other direction from him, that's the life we lose. Through the valley where death bears in on us, if we have our eyes on the shepherd, that death is his cross. That's a death to the way of life that has us separate from him. And that's going to the high places where our life is renewed in him. So, two kinds of life, the bad life, a life in sin, the good life, a life in intimacy with him. So, for Paul, Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the old self, that's another word for the life we died to. So this new mind, new self that we're renewed to, that's the life he calls us to. And there's life and life, and there's death and death. One death is the old life. It's the life separated from Christ. The other death, taking up our cross and following him, that's the new life, intimacy with him. And we're going to face that choice when death bears in on us. But if we keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, we don't need to fear, because as Romans 6:8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe, we trust that we will also live with him. Lesson 3. The valley that we've been speaking about, which is the valley to the mountaintop, is the way of death, and it's the way of life. But here's the problem for us sheep. The problem is the sheep that were starting the journey don't yet fully have that new life that enables them to clearly tell the difference between the bad life and the good life. We see a little, but only a little. Paul speaks, you know, of looking through a glass darkly, a glimpse of this sight. That piece that we heard preached so powerfully last week, we glimpse that peace, and we've enjoyed that peace. But as the song we sang just before this lesson, right, it goes so far beyond what we understand and can take hold of. So here you are, the sheep, you know, restored, fed, ready to be brought by him on that journey, and he knows when we're ready. But the sheep that don't yet have the hinds feet, and along with not having the hinds feet, they don't yet have this capacity to know why they got to go through the valley that they're going through. And because they can't tell the difference between all the aspects of the new life and the aspects of the old life, and they still identify with, this is what the good life is, right? So when death bears in on us, whichever death we're talking about, there's a confusion on it. Which is this life? Which is this death? Is this the death that threatens me and undoes me and unravels me? Or is this the death that tells me how I got to give up that old and conveys to me the new life I need to be on? And it's that inability to clearly see and discern what we're in the middle of that leads us to fear. Because we're threatened. The flesh is threatened. The way we understand good is threatened. To be in sin means that we can't clearly discern the difference between these lives, and the woe to those who remain in that mindset, thinking they can tell this difference, is spoken by Isaiah in 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And this is the way of the sinful life, to put them forward in the reverse way. To call life what's death. To call death what's life. Good, call it evil. Evil, call it good. And think of, you know, how much that characterizes our age. And the further part of this passage, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do you think you know as sheep? You think you know better than the shepherd? That's a woe to you. And you know what? All of us at times when we're resisting him and wanting to walk the other direction because it seems that's more likely to be the good land, right, than the other land, the land he's bringing us to, in those circumstances, we're wise in our own eyes. And the contrast, it was neat, Pastor, the you know, with Josh and Chad, I guess, is out there, that verse that he brought. You know, Proverbs is, you know, it opens with, in 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Right? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make that path straight. So the central part of wisdom, the first part, the crucial part, is having enough wisdom to know we don't have all the wisdom we need. And that's where we need to trust in him, and he brings us on that journey where we gain it. So to the fourth lesson, how we come to see and know and distinguish good and bad, to have that wisdom that he would bring us to have our mind renewed, to be the new man. And the answer is, look where the shepherd wants to bring us. See that when we look there, we're tempted to recoil, but that temptation is coming from our flesh. It's coming from the old way of life that we're still thinking of as the way of life. And that's why we're tempted to fear. But if instead we say, he knows where I need to go, and that's the flesh, that's the old man telling me, be afraid, stare at the wolf, don't trust the shepherd. When we're tempted to recoil in the middle of the trial, that's when we need to hear in this psalm, he says, fear no evil. Or the disciple of his, David, in the psalm, is saying, I will fear no evil. When we fear, we turn away. But when we trust, that trust coming out of the midst of this fear, this awareness of threat, then we look to him. How do we look? His word. We seek him in prayer. We find that intimacy that he wants to bring us on in this journey. And these then steady us when this shadow of death is bearing in on us. So, lesson 5, keep your eyes ahead. How do you keep it? The shepherd, he's with us, he's there. And remember, how do you know he's there? Your eyes are dim. Until you're fully renewed, a lot of times you can't see it. And then you come in prayer and you say, where are you, Lord? I don't see you. But at those times you say, that's because my eyes aren't fully renewed yet. I know you're there. I'm aware you're there. Part of the trial is that I can't see you right now. But even though I can't see you, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look to you. Your word is present here. I come to that word, but it's hard to make sense of, and I'm struggling in a way that I can't get hold of it. And it seems dark. You know, think of like that shadowy picture of the sheep at the beginning. Sometimes the word, you know, it's so crisp and clear, and sometimes you come to the word and it's like, you know, I'm struggling. But that's because you're seeing with the eyes that don't enable you to see, and the whole point of this trial is to have you hold on despite this struggle and stretch and be made new by him in such a way that in the future, when you make it through that valley, you're in those kind of valleys and it's no problem. And you can take hold of that word and you can say, I've been here before. And he was there, and I saw how I can get a hold of him. And in that time, it might still be a little hard, but now you say, I know how to take hold of him. And then he says, okay, you're ready to come up still higher. And he keeps bringing you up to a higher place because he wants to bring you to those mountains where you can leap like that sheep, where you have feet and eyes and a soul and a being of a different kind. So, how is the fear overcome? Look to the shepherd. Look ahead from the valley. Don't focus on the valley. And you see where you're going indicated in the rest of the psalm. And I'm not going to go there now because that's the rest of the lessons that we look at. But sort of you have this place right at the middle of the psalm when they set off to the mountains. And then as you go on the journey further, there's this, okay, it wasn't as scary when I first looked at the place he was taking me. And gradually, more and more, you're aware of that presence and that goodness. And you're finding yourself at higher and higher places and higher meadows, and you're becoming more and more confident about goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. And this is like that pivotal transition place when God is saying, I want now to bring you to that next step. You've been healed. You are ready for this journey. And now you've got to come to me, come with me to this more intimate place. So he will comfort, anoint, fill our cup. His goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life. And there's a forever. And I want to suggest that just as Psalm 23 has sort of a pre-history, right? It starts at the place where you've already come as his sheep, and it's talking about you being taken care of. So it's not mentioning what happened before you came and became his sheep. And in the same way, there's a more on the other side of that psalm. It's speaking about our journey with him here. But even by the end, we've only got that little glimpse, and our eyes are still only partially trained. And there's a forever on the other side of things, where there's going to be a glory that's greater and of another kind. And we're going to see then that this whole life is that journey to the high place. And on the other side of this veil is the forever. And it's at that place when sort of the final trial occurs. And even when facing it, we'll say, I will fear no evil, because we know that the sting of death has been overcome. That the sting of death, the curse, was sin. And thanks be to God, he's overcome it. And we have that life on the other side of things. And that hope we're looking to, and that we get eyes to see a little bit clearer each step of the way, it's a hope we'll fully see on the other side of the psalm. At the end of it, with the forever, when we're with him and intimate with him in a way we get glimpses of along, but what will it be? Lord, give us these eyes and this heart to take a hold of your hope and to set on that journey that you call us to, each of us in that work you have for us, and trusting in you as you call us to, so that we can be worthy of you and we can enter into the intimacy of being a disciple of yours and know that it's not that worth that we've got, but it's that worth you bring us to when we walk with you. In Jesus' name.